The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. Welcome to episode 28 of Comics League International. I'm Brent. With me is Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing fabulous, as always.
Excellent, excellent. So we are in the middle of some beautiful summer weather over here. Well, not summer, but it feels like summer.
Yes, beach weather.
It totally is. And it's right. We're both in Japan, which makes our choice for today a pretty nice choice. Wayward by Jim Zub with line art by Steve Cummings, and there's a decent amount of colorists on throughout the issues. So yeah, Michael, you suggested this. What was it that made you want to talk about Wayward?
Basically, from like. When I first heard the description of it, it was pretty much what was described to me as Japanese Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. It does. Do you think it fulfilled the Buffy the Vampire-ishness of it?
Maybe not so much just the punky aspect yet, but it's still pretty early on, and we're still learning about the characters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and it's not as sassy yet, but it's getting there.
It's getting there. I mean, honestly, my only real complaint, and I'll probably kind of come back to this a few times through these five issues, is it's got a lot of good setup. It's going a lot of interesting places, but I kind of feel like the characters never quite cross over into being characters and are still just kind of like generic molds that they're later going to pour more characterization into.
The very, tropes or trophy, I guess, if that's a word.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels tropey.
We got the anime cat chick, the strong, mm-hmm. tough guy, mm-hmm. the foreigner.
Who's also angry.
It's like, I'm going to eat spirits,
And then I even kind of feel like the mousy, but with a super hidden, powerful character is also kind of, the four of them just feel fairly generic.
Yeah, so far, a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but then again, I keep going back and forth on whether or not we only read, or I've only read, for this show is basically only going with the first five issues. I believe there's six out now?
Yeah, I think seven just came out, but I've only read up to six.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's okay. It might be better to wait for two trades and then really dive in if you want to decide whether or not you should fully commit, maybe, but yeah.
I think from the five issues alone, it's interesting enough where, the setting of being in Japan is really cool, especially if you want to, if you're interested in the culture, if you want to learn about it. Every, issue, I don't know if it's just, in the trades, but every issue that I really like has, a little essay that describes, Japanese culture, or it describes, the monsters and other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
No, those are really neat. They have some pretty good information in there. Sometimes, like you said, about the culture, especially the culture in terms of the monster history. And sometimes, one of the issues, was it number two or three, that just had a little bit about, hey, here's kind of how schooling works in Japan.
Yeah, and it sounds terrible, even though anime kind of like gives it like this sort of like dream thing,
Yeah.
romanticize it.
So, as I hack a little bit, yeah, and that. So, this is one of the things that. How long have you lived in Japan now?
Almost 3 years,
Almost
sort
3 years.
of.
See, this is something that, and I don't really mean this as a negative to the book, but it's just something that, about the art and a way Japan is depicted. Because, like, what would you say about, like, maybe 80% or so, given that there are, of course, stylistic art choices, 80% of it is really spot on.
Yeah, it's very like it's realistic. Like I was reading like how they drew it, how they pretty much they took pictures of parts of Tokyo and they pretty much just drew over it. But
Yeah,
it's
like
great though.
the Ikebukuro Sunshine area. I mean, that's like it's like wow, I've stood right there. Especially since I live very close to Ikebukuro, which is where the most of these five issues take place. So the big landmarks, it's like wow, that's practically my backyard. But one of the things that kind of kept on hitting me is that, like I said, 80% of it is really spot on, and then there's about, I don't want to say the 20% to make it up to 100, but maybe like 10 to 15 is just off enough where it's like when you're listening to a music and you're like, hey, this is pretty good, and then someone like sings and it's just totally not on key, and it's just like, gah.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, especially some like the characters' faces during like action scenes. It's like kind of like disproportional while you're fighting these weird Japanese monsters now. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, or like the first issue has some great facial acting in it, but then a lot of the other issues they kind of seem just they give more over to the tropes. Like angry
Yeah.
guy is always kind of angry and that's all he does, and cat girl always looks like she is a cat girl. Well,
Yep.
the expression you'd expect. But then there's other little things like when they were in the high school and they had the room numbers on it and the room numbers were like 6B, 7A, and I was like, wait, huh? Like that's not oh okay. But that's wrong. That's not how schools are numbered here. There's no seven. That's not a grade in Japan.
Yeah, I like the creative team. I know the artist and the writer in Japan, but I don't know if how much they have to deal with, working in a high school or working at some parts of like youth culture and stuff.
Yeah, and again, like that's why I'm not throwing that out there necessarily as a criticism, but there was enough little things like that where it's like, oh, you're so spot on in a lot of places, so that when they're off, it feels really like I don't know, out of key, like the mom's apartment where they're like. Oh yeah, no, we don't have much money, but here's our apartment. Bob was like, "Wow, that place is huge."
It's bigger than I've seen from a lot of Japanese apartments.
Yeah, man, and it's a big wide open space. Like, where's she living? Where can I get that place? So, I mean,
Yeah, I don't know if the characters are short or if it's just like a really like tall. It's like, I don't know. I like the little things too, like all the shops and stuff and like the signs and stuff. It still feels very Japan.
It does. Like the for the most part, like the vending machines say the right things, and the street signs are pretty accurate, and just a lot of those little things are like, wow, that adds a great deal to the feeling of it.
Yeah, like when they're walking down the street, it's like, oh, I'm walking down the street of this urban Japanese neighborhood.
Yeah, so I guess we should do just a little bit of a basic plot for this. Would you like to sum it up?
Sure, okay. So we follow Rory, who's half Japanese, half Irish. who she moves away from her dad, who's like a works in construction. So she moves to Japan to live with her mom, who's a seamstress in a clothing factory in Japan. And she has, like, she's obviously, she's very distinct enough where she has her Irish red hair that she's not, like, fully Japanese. So she has, like, to deal with this sort of culture shock. She speaks Japanese enough to get by, but from, like, her peers and stuff, she's, like, way out of her league. And she noticed that not only she's different from being a foreigner, but she also has these weird spirit abilities. And she kind of connects and finds these other people that are involved with, like, the spirit world and all these weird spirit monsters and stuff.
Yeah. No, and I mean, that this is the five issues. It is basically a the party gathers type things. And each issue has, you know, for the most part, has a different monster they're supposed to fight, which does kind of add to that Buffy feel of creature of the week.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, it's... I liked it, but there's still... There's just so many little things in there that keep it from, like, pushing it over the edge to me.
Yeah. Like, I like the enemies so far. They're nicely designed. Like, I know that they're like, oh, wow, these are actual turtles that are based on, like, Kappas from the Japanese past and stuff. But they still kind of look a little corny and stuff.
Yeah, and I also liked how within the story, they, even though it is kind of quickly said and kind of glossed over, but I do like how there's a reason for why they look different from the traditional monsters.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're kind of almost the evolved form of those monsters. And I liked that.
Yeah, and I like how when, like, the main bad guy pulled out his cell phone, the spirit monsters were just sort of freaking out. It's like, why would you bring human technology here? That's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, you need to get with the times. And it was a nice little, like, new age versus, or new school versus old school flip to it. That helped the story a lot. But then there were the, like, the little parts of it that, you know, each issue is such a small slice that none of them have been in and of themselves a, at least for me, kind of a satisfying read.
Yeah, like, it's just the small parts of, like, her life is going into school, and then we get, like, a very small part of her interacting with the spirit, with the spirits in the spirit world.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of because those pieces are so small. I mean, it's a very fast read, and it is pretty engaging. But, you know, there's lot... These are like potato chips.
Yes, because you're not only setting up the whole world and the characters, there's a lot... There's already four characters that we barely know anything about.
Yeah, yeah. And the first two that are introduced, I think they do a good job of kind of personifying, is that the word I'm looking for? Those characters where it's like, you know, hey, I'm a crazy cat girl and I help save you and we're going to fight and then we're going to meet up. What's up? And then I'm the fighter. I do fighty fight stuff, and we're in the same class, so obviously. But then the fourth character is just kind of like, oh, I was a victim, not a victim, and now I'm just going to stick around.
And I make things explode sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, but we don't really know what that is. But yeah, it's like I can't even remember if that character has been given a name. I'm sure he has, but you know.
I think so. But I can't remember because he's not that memorable yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I think because it's still like the first like trade that they're pretty much focusing on Rory and her as a character.
Yeah.
Her interactions.
Yeah. So I wonder if one of the things they're going to fix in the trade is, you mentioned she speaks English and Japanese. Rory does.
Yes.
And they do the kind of comic book. They're speaking another language with the what is it? Not brackets, not quite parentheses,
yeah, like
but
these
the
arrow things.
Yeah, I forget what the actual name. They're not ellipses. Ah, well. But,
no, it's. I don't know. They look kind of like greater than a list sign symbols to me.
Yeah, they look like that. Let's call them parentheses for ease of conversation. I know they're not. Internet. But they have the parentheses for when they're speaking Japanese. But there's a lot of places where I guess the letterist just didn't put those in.
I was wondering, it's because it's like the main character Rory, is she just thinking in English? But there's other stuff, I'm actually looking through the comic now.
Yeah.
Where they're just saying things like, brah! Which is like a generic, not English, not Japanese phrase.
Yeah, and I mean, those I'm okay with, but every now and then you have, like, I'm opening a page to like page 11 in issue 5, where you have the monster saying, "Kill her, do it now," and then you have the main bad guy saying, apparently in English because it lacks those parentheses, "Don't be hasty," and there's lots of little places like that where characters who have no reason to know English just all of a sudden are suddenly speaking English. And it's, I don't think it's a plot thing. I think it's just a lettering error. But it's just those little kind of hiccups in there, which are like, wait, what? Is this meaningful? Is this not meaningful? Is this just a typo or an error? Or are you trying to say something?
And it's just, or are they doing English just because?
Yeah. And it's there's enough events like that throughout these 5 issues that, I don't know, it just feels... It pulls me out, and it feels slightly sloppy.
I don't know. Like, I've been watching a lot of anime recently, and they randomly speak English a lot, too.
Do they? I haven't watched...
They do. It's just like, it's because it's always weird, broken English.
Yeah.
At, like, very, like, seemingly random times, and it's like, oh, okay. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's, it's kind of like, I just want to know, with those little things, which one is it? Is it just an error that'll be corrected in later editions? Or is it, like you said, someone just randomly saying English? But,
Like, it would make sense with Rory, because she's a native, like, English speaker. She spoke English most of her life in Ireland. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more forgiving with that, but then there's times where she speaks English to characters, and they react as though they understand her. Like, in issue 3, when, she's with Mr. Angry, and he has the, "This is dumb, you're talking to cats." And then that's in the Japanese parentheses, and then she just says, "And you eat ghosts, so shut the fuck up and let's see where they're going." Sigh. And it's that thing of like, well, he understood, but so is that her? This is the stuff that happens when you spend when your actual work day is spent teaching kids Japanese or teaching kids English, is you get really fixated on small, essentially meaningless details. Of like, well, which language are they speaking here? Because blah, 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 blah. And it just, like I said, it pulls me out. But I can move on. I've said my piece.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, well, I'm actually looking at the issue right now. And it's like, yeah, you eat ghosts, so shut the fuck up and let's see where we're going. Maybe she just doesn't know, like, a proper way of, like, saying it in Japanese.
Maybe.
And the guy is just signing because he doesn't understand, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have to, and this is probably more just on my reading it and less on the story, but I keep on having to remind myself that, I mean, this is basically a, you know, a modern horror, modern fantasy, mm-hmm. one of those type of stories. So I shouldn't expect it to be an accurate treatise portrayal on the difficulties of growing up bilingual or any crap like that.
Especially since the main audience is pretty much going to be its U.S. audiences.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah.
probably not going to even realize.
Yeah.
Half
yeah.
the time.
You know, but then again, I also kind of have to put on the other hat and say, like, well, this is how the author chose to tell this story. Mm. They chose to make the main character a bilingual person. And like you kind of brought up, they address and put it out there like, oh, my Japanese isn't as good as this part, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, well, if you're going to make that an issue, maybe you should have gone the whole way. Like, maybe rather than just kind of throwing in a thing to be like, look, she's slightly different. Like, actually make it mm-hmm. apparent in how you're telling the story. They're,
yeah, like, when she's speaking in the parentheses, maybe make things like, this is sort of, like, maybe out of order, or maybe not, like, full, like, coherent sentences.
Yeah, yeah, every now and then just have her screw something up or just say something that sounds weird and have people be like, huh? You know, I mean, it's...
Or,
it's,
like,
it's,
maybe, like, have her question it, like, make her, like, think about it more? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's not maybe not a perfect way of doing it, but since they brought up the language issue in it, not just saying, like, screw it, she's completely fluent in Japanese. There you go. But since they brought it up, it's kind of like, well, she never seems to have any problems at all communicating.
Yeah.
So, the double-edged sword.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, yeah, let's talk about more of the supernatural aspects. Whenever she, like, activate her, like, spirit sense, and she, like, sees these threads.
Yeah, no, threads. No, that's a great effect. The threads and the leading stuff and the, and just, really, I think the supernatural elements of this are probably the strongest part.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, and I really like the design of the monsters.
Yes.
Because, like, when you ever think of a yokai, you think of, like, Yokai Watch or Pokemon, and they're all
yeah,
so cute and
yeah.
lovey-dovey. But...
Or, like, what was it? Gege something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, actually, I've been looking at, like, art books and stuff with the actual, like, what yokai are supposed to look like, and they're all, like, super creepy and messed up and, like,
oh, yeah. no,
maldeform and stuff.
They're weird to the point that the weirdness of these characters shown in here are almost generic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like and that sounds like I'm insulting the art, but I'm not, because the design elements of these monsters are great, but Japanese traditional monsters are crazy. Like an umbrella that eats people, or like, you know, just eyes attached to feet and killing stuff. It's like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping we'll get even more, like, crazy and unique designs later on.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything we've just seen so far is just sort of, like, cannon fodder.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And, I mean, even just, like, the idea of the Kappas, we got the kind of... The Ninja Turtle versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see, like, the other side of it, which, you know, well, hell, maybe a group of the Kappas evolved this way. Maybe there's another group of Kappas that evolved, like, to more of the traditional manner. So those, the features that are cut out of the... let me start again to make this a sentence that makes sense. They've exaggerated certain features of the Kappas for the modern version in here, while they've eliminated other features. I'd love to see the opposite of that. Like, just what that design element would look like.
Yes, totally. And let's just get weird. Get all of the weird. Maybe even just, like, because we have, like, the samurai, like, kind of, sort of, like, kaiju, like, monsters, yokai. Mm-hmm. But let's see, I'm hoping to see some of the more larger, like, kaiju ones. Monsters that are, like, 10 feet, 12 feet, maybe even 20 or 30 feet high.
No, that'd be fun.
And maybe some good spirits, too. You know, we've only seen bad spirits thus far.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe one of the good characters would be a, you know, spirit.
Well, arguably, Catgirl may be a spirit. You know, the,
Yeah, she's still has, like, a human form and everything, though. And a cat form, but still.
True. Yeah, no, I see what you mean. So, it's, Yeah, and I want to see more of outside of some of his magic. We got the main villain outside of his kind of jellyfish head and some magic powers. I'd like to see what differentiates him from the other characters or from the other monsters.
Like, he has this cool, it's just this weird, like, he has, like, a little bow tie and stuff and a straw hat or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But he just pretty much, like, is a normal, like, guy, pretty much. We haven't seen him, like, change into, like, a monster form as of yet.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, there's, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, there's so much potential for places they can go with this story that I hope they delve more into those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. This is a series that has massive potential. Because you can do all the things within Tokyo. So they haven't actually hit up, like, the major, like, a lot of the major, like, parts of Tokyo yet either, too.
Yeah, nah. They mentioned in the letters page, I think for issue 5, that they're going to start moving it into more of the Shinjuku area.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which would be fun, because I think there's stuff there to go. I think this might be strange, but I almost feel they need to go away from the stuff that feels like it's piggybacking on typical manga.
Yeah. Yes, like with anime, you pretty much, like, all the major, like, animes that take place in real world Tokyo, you pretty much see, like, Shibuya done to death.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it'll be cool to see, like, things that are maybe, like, beyond Tokyo too. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, or even just going into since they mentioned, I know that the artist Jim Cummings, I think they said he lives in Yokohama. Moving it into some of those rural areas that never tend to get focused in media interpretations of Japan, that really, once you get outside of Tokyo, are a lot of what Japan is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, so far, I think this has an interesting voice. It's going interesting places. I think there's flaws in it. But I'm really hoping in the next several issues they start going areas that make it feel less like a reinterpretation of, you know, like, this almost feels like it could be Inuyasha, but without going into the past.
Yes, totally. Like, yeah, we have the modern day Tokyo, but I wonder if they'll, like, actually go into, like, a sort of, like, spirit world. Like, go all the way into this, like, netherworld.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's... There's too many tropes, I feel. There's not enough reinvention, but too many tropes. And I like Jim Zub as a writer. He's usually a writer that I want to like. But, you know, so far, like, I can't see... He's yet to give me a compelling reason to read this as opposed to reading, like picking up copies of something like Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I kept on landing. He's like, ah, this is okay, but you're too inspired by manga and almost too limited by what manga and anime are to do something that original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to see something that goes more like out the boundaries of tropes and stuff. It's yeah. easy to stereotype things, to go with things that have been done before, but...
Mm-mm-mm.
I can see the hard parts of trying to do something a little bit original in a setting that's been done in anime and manga a million times
yeah,
over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially when, you know, it's fair that this is kind of their love letter to this genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a love letter from a voice that's foreign.
Yeah, yeah.
And... which makes it easy to relate to and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's just the fact that it's following a schedule and coming out regularly, and it seems to have no inclinations of stopping is good, because I'm thinking of other series in a similar vein. There was recently, was it Ron Mars put out Shinku, which was, hey, here's a, you know, a vampire story set in Japan, but I think only like 4 issues came out with a really delayed publishing schedule, and I don't know if you know, it didn't even finish the first arc.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's terrible. Like,
yeah, and but this, you know, it's got people maintaining the schedule and putting it out there, and hopefully, you know, the stuff that I like will keep going up.
Yeah, I can see this. This is definitely, I think, the last 30 or 60 issues. But I'm just hoping within those 30 and 60 issues that they start going into, like, different and, like, vast places
yeah.
that we wouldn't normally expect. So no, beyond just anime tropes.
Yeah. So, to we've kind of avoided spoilers up through now.
Hmm.
So let's just go ahead and unlock the big spoiler for issue 5.
Yeah, poor Rory's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was it felt too much like a trope.
A little bit, yeah. It's been done before a million times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to see, like, how it affects her actual normal life.
No, I do, like, too.
How can she go to, like, normal school or do pretty much anything without her, you know, main support system gone?
Yeah.
So.
No, that's what I'm curious about, too. I'm thinking of just other materials I've read where they had something like that happen, and oftentimes it just gets, like, the one mentioned, like, oh, are you on your own now? Yes, I am. Okay, we're done with that subplot. And I hope it doesn't go that direction.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I don't know, we'll see, that she just does something that's, like, new. Like, she can't go to school anymore. I'm hoping she just does something that goes full, more go full potential into the girl spirit chasing thing.
Yeah, spirit yeah. Spirit thing. Or, you know, I mean, just the main problem I had with the mom getting killed is the kind of like the other voices in the book. The mother never really quite crossed over into being a character. You know, I mean, she was, hey, I've got to go to work at my mysterious company where I'm a seamstress and your powers give on a decidedly string-like theory.
Ooh. Yeah, it's like, oh, guess what? She's actually a spirit weaver. No
Whoa,
surprise
no.
there.
You know, and it's which could have been great. That could have been really interesting. And maybe they'll go there anyway. That kind of put it mixing of magic and tech, or as Final Fantasy would call it, magitech.
Oh gosh.
But instead, it feels like that just kind of got culled.
Yeah, you know? I'm hoping it'll still connect with like with Rory and the company her mother was working for, the Spirit Weaver or whatever. But mm-mm. Still, I don't know.
The Dream Weaver. I can't let you down the night.
Beautiful. Oh, the voice thank of an you. Angel right there.
Right? Right? That's my spirit power.
Oof.
I kind of got gypped, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of... Yeah. I think that might be all I really came in there with, because there's other little things like I had a little note written down about when the teacher does the you should dye your hair to not stand out. And I was thinking like, huh, I've heard those stories and I've talked to parents who were told that about their kids. But that was also stuff from like 2 to 3 decades ago, and I haven't heard, you know.
Yeah, there's been stuff in the news recently, especially regarding the Miss Japan.
Yeah.
So I think it's still very relevant, like how Japan's very homogenous culture. They don't like anything foreign. So.
There's definitely parts of that present. I haven't heard anything as blatant as making the, I'm half, as they call it here in Japan, half kids having to dye their hair. Haven't heard that come up in a long time. So it's, you know, but there's definitely issues about not being purely 100% ethnically Japanese that can cause an issue in some places.
Yes, definitely. I've heard horrible stories.
Yeah, and I'm obviously not Japanese in any way, but after living here for over a decade, there have definitely been times where I've kind of been like, huh. Well, let me put it this way. Living in Japan and being a minority for a change has really opened my eyes to how difficult it must be to be a minority in other cultures, even though I also know that I'm only getting like a fraction of what people in really difficult situations get.
Oh, I bet. Even if you're different and foreign, they still have this like politeness that they have to like to follow through.
And
they can't say that they hate you or discriminate against you, but they can politely say that you have to change something about you.
Well, I mean, I have... You know, I mean, there's still... I don't think it's as... I don't think violence is as likely, perhaps, is the word I'm looking for, as it is in the States. But then again, you know, I've been in situations where it's like, ooh, we need to leave now because, you know... These people threw bottles at the car we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And other little situations. So, you know. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. Well, I mean, that's... If they want to play with a main heroine who is in that road, hopefully they will kind of follow up with some of that storytelling in manners that are... accurate.
Yes, that thing is like hard to balance the thing too. You can have like social issues and stuff play out, but I don't know how you can like balance between like dealing with like social issues or dealing with the fantasy elements of the series.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is a difficult path, and it kind of makes me wonder. And especially because, but then again, if you kill the guardian figure, the mother, then it almost seems like they have to address at least an aspect of those social issues, because, you know, Rory being a minor and Rory living here, her not, you know, it's got to it's got to flavor it somehow.
Yeah, how does she fit in with social society after this?
Yeah. I mean, where is she going to live? I mean, especially since she is not an adult, there will... I don't know what it's like for you know, a, what, 16-year-old, 17-year-old?
Yeah.
I mean, people are still minors in Japan until they're 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there can be a, well, I just turned 18, so I don't have to worry. It's like, well, actually, you kind of do here. It's, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't just go to, like, the safe route and just keep her, like, living underground for the rest of the series.
I'm going to live with a friend. Who's your friend living with? Are you going to live with Catgirl?
Or Angry Guy?
Well, but Angry Guy, I mean, you know, Angry Guy also has to have guardians and parents. Catgirl may just be a stray Catgirl.
Yeah. You wouldn't expect that much, like, deepness and stuff with her.
Yeah.
We can just say, like, oh, anime Catgirl. Okay.
Yeah. I did have to groan a little bit at the "I'm a cat girl, I want some milk." That was a little, like, okay.
I think since this is a comic book, there has to be, especially since it's based on Japan, there has to be like a little bit of anime there, just to keep it fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like totally, it's not overbearing.
This was more a groan, and like when you hear puns on the news,
mm-hmm.
you're like, "Oh, that." Okay, no. Back to the actual point of it. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to bring up just one little thing that I hope the book does moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
As I kind of mentioned. In all of these five issues, we had almost every issue had a different colorist. Yeah, like, I think from issue 5, Tamra Bon Villain, which is probably a butchering of that family name. And, you know, she did some work in issues 4, and I think she did she's a few pages in issue 3, but issue 2 was, as I scroll through, was a completely different group, as was issue 1 was also different, and
yeah,
it just, because of that, the color of the book and therefore the feel of the book has also felt slightly inconsistent to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of, I think if they, and none of them have been like, they've all been, I feel like they've all kind of been par for the course. You know, I don't think there's been necessarily anything bad. I don't think there's anything that's like, you know, wow, blown my face off, awesome. But because there are those differences, and I can just kind of, it feels like it almost has that same effect of if they were changing an artist throughout, in a way. It's like, man, just can you guys make it a bit more consistent?
Yes, yeah. And I don't know if I've seen it, like, looking at it like that, like, intently, looking at the colors.
Mm.
Like, the scenes that do stand out are the scenes that where she is spirit reaving, and that's when the colors are, like, used full extently. But looking back at the issues now, looking from issue, like, 3 and 1, yeah, I can see the difference.
Yeah.
Just for, like, little things from the character's hair.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And clothing.
And, I mean, maybe if I had read them as they were coming out, because I basically just binge-read them, so it was kind of like, whoa, this feels like a completely different palette. Like, you know, I get a feeling Tamra, Bomb Villain, likes a lot more shading than the first few colorists, which, yeah, I mean, you know, sure, but it does kind of, you know, and also the hair colors are a little bit too anime. I'm just saying.
A little bit. Rory is very, like, you can kind of get with her because she wants your mother's like sort of dealing with fashion, so she's very like, I don't want to say like Hot Topic-y, but
but she kind of is.
Yeah, like some of the stuff's very like Hot Topic-y, Tim Burton inspired.
Yeah, but which kind of makes me wonder, like, are they trying to capture Tokyo youth fashions in a way that, you know, does feel Hot Topic-y, or...
That's the thing, though, with Rory, though. She was dressing Hot Topic-y even because she just arrived in Japan and she already looks different.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that was the kind of... When she first got off the plane... I mean, she almost looked more normal, you know, because she just had, like, the pullover and a little skirt and some leggings and some boots, or maybe that just shows how long I've been here. Like, of course that's normal. We did skirt and leggings and a sweater, like, duh.
But like then, three belts.
Well, but in, like I said, just when she first gets off the plane... for issue one until she gets home, and then she talks with her mom's like, I'm going out, and then like the moment she goes out, she has the two belts and she's, you know, suddenly nanny from Muppet Baby Socks.
And it's just weird. Like,
whoa, did you just kind of do the whole thing of like, I need to dress this way now? It was a complete and total character change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just because she's just arriving in Japan, so she doesn't want to stand out, but it's already hard to stand out when you already have the foreigner look.
Yeah.
The hair and everything.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like I said, it's an okay read. It's a fun read. I almost think that... I don't know. If they do a 10... Because it's such a fast read, I almost think, like, people should wait until there's the first two arcs done, and then either, like, read all 10 issues in the space of, like, 2 days, and then kind of see where it's gone. Because right now, it could get really awesome, or it could just kind of be, oh, no, they're trying.
Yeah, because even in issue 6, which would be the... first issue or the first part of the first or the second trade, it's still introducing a character. So I don't know if it's the first two trades or what. Well, we'll still be introducing everything, still settling into this world.
Yeah, and they have mentioned in the letters page that the father is going to play a role as well. It's kind of like, well, okay, no, that's great, but when are you actually going to start developing the threads you're laying out there?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not introducing way too many threads way too soon. We already have 4, maybe even 5 characters at this point, but adding even a 6th one, and not even including the villains, the spirits, and the whole actual city,
it
just may be a little too much too soon.
And then there was... not much, but some page real estate giving to the mother, but then the mother's killed, so where does that story go? You know, it's... Take small bites at first. Get people invested in characters rather than kind of just making us feel like, I know who Rory is? I mean, and we haven't even touched upon her kind of her self-harm.
We see a little bits of there for like up 2 or 3 pages through the whole series, but it's barely mentioned.
Yeah, like it gets brought up a few outside of the initial thing. It kind of gets brought up in like, I'm all alone, which it's kind of like, I see what you're doing there, but you haven't made me care enough to care.
Yeah.
Like, okay, she feels all alone, but she's actually surrounded by friends. I'm not sure I get what you're trying to do with this.
Yeah, like, we know, like, her upbringing wasn't exactly, like, the best, but we don't know how bad it was.
Yeah,
that, like, and if her father was just a jerk or a total asshole or maybe even child abuser, like.
But then again, we don't even all we really know is that what her mom and her dad divorced. And then it's like a quick, like, what, was it that she and her dad either didn't get along or they thought it was best for her to go back to Japan? It's covered so quickly with no real depth to it that I almost kind of think, like, you know, attaching motives for what was going on seems, it's too soon to know. I mean, for all we're given, who knows, maybe Rory was a juvenile delinquent in Ireland, where the dad's the nicest guy in the world, and it's like, ooh, if you're like this close to getting arrested, maybe we should have you get out of this environment. It just hasn't been cleared up enough.
We're still learning a lot about the main character, Rory. She's just like, yeah, so far we, like, the teacher says that she's done well in her entrance exams. But so far, every other part of school she's been, like, blanking out on.
Yeah. And then again, they also bring up, this isn't in the comic, but it's in the back matter, that although they do kind of mention that she's in a mid-level academic one, they do have the point that in some of the private schools, which, you know, we're not told she's not in a private school, if you get 10% on an entrance exam, you've done enough to get there. So it's kind of, even though they say, well, you've done well on your entrance exam, we're not given a definition of what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if you read the series without knowing, like, at least a little bit about Japan and stuff, at least from, like, the stuff you read in manga, anime, and everything, that you'll be totally, like, lost.
I almost come feel the opposite. Which is, if you come in here without reading any manga or without watching any anime or without knowing anything about Japan, you might feel better about this, because then there's less familiarity with the tropes that are coming out. You know, I mean, which obviously means I am right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, who knows? There might be benefits and negatives to both sides. Well, but, I mean, overall, like I said, despite me kind of spending a long time going, like, I kind of wish this was different, I kind of wish this was different, it's a fast-paced story. It's got some great design work. It's got some wonderful kind of location references to Japan, and it has a story that's going somewhere. I just, you know, my kind of takeaway is I hope they start filling in those broader details rather than just letting them be archetypes and tropes.
Yes, definitely. Make the characters actual characters instead of just tropes.
Well, Michael, do you have anything you wanna plug while you're here?
Nah, no plugging necessary.
Excellent. Well, in that case, I will plug away, because you can find me at deadlytroubadour.com. Also, you can go to Facebook and like this podcast page. Just, you know, do a search for Comics League International. It should show up. Also, if you're subscribing through iTunes, then take a moment to like, or I guess you can like it as well, but rate and review this show. And, you know, since this is a comic book dealing with Japan, if you're interested in learning more about Japanese culture, I host another podcast, co-host it, called Living Japan. So you can search for that and hear a few more details. We talk about schools. We haven't talked about monsters. That may be something we want to go into. So, well, we've talked a little. Ah, there you go. So, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed reading comics. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.